Good evening, everybody, and thank you for listening to Lakeshore Public Radio at 89.1 FM on the dial, streaming worldwide wherever you may be at lakeshorepublicradio.org. It's time for Midwest Beats, a program all about the arts and the people behind it. I'm your host, Tom Lounges, and tonight we're going to take a little trip under the sea. Yeah, we are. It's The Little Mermaid, Disney's Little Mermaid. We are going to bring it right here to the studio with the Little Mermaid, well, members of the Little Mermaid cast, as being presented by the Highland Parks and Recreation Department. They've rebooted their community summer theater production at Main Square Park. The second week takes place this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. In studio with us, we've got Flounder, Ursula, Scuttle, and the director. You're going to get to meet them all. It's coming up after your headlines right here. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Lakeshore Public Radio. You're on the dial at 89.1 FM and streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. It's time for, you got it, Midwest Beats. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. This program is all about entertainment and the people who bring it to us, the people behind the music, behind the stage. And today we got a little of both. We've got the director of Disney's Little Mermaid as it's being presented in downtown Highland by the Highland Parks and Recreation Department at Main Square Park. We've also got members of the cast. We've got Samantha, Christina, and Claire. They are, respectively, Scuttle, Ursula, and Flounder. Yeah, we're talking about The Little Mermaid, one of my favorite Disney animation cartoons. Okay, go ahead, make fun of me. I like it, and it's my show, so we're going to play it. So, without any further ado, let's bring up that amazing overture, and we'll get to know the ladies after this. Taking you under the sea tonight here on Midwest Beat at Lakeshore Public Radio and making you part of our world. That's right. It's a soggy world in here today. Jose is wearing his trench coat and raincoat and fisherman's cap because it's a little bit wet behind the board. I'm Lounges, and it's time to talk about a cool little young lady named Ariel, the Little Mermaid. That's right. Well, Ariel's not here. She's floundering around somewhere out in the sea. But we do have some of her friends, including flounder. We've got Claire, I'm sorry, I keep putting an A on that. We've got Samantha, we've got Christina, and we've got Allie. Allie, let's start with you. You are the director of The Little Mermaid being presented this coming weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, at Highland Parks and Recreation Department's production at Main Square Park. Now, we just got through a week of doing it, and it seems like you've hardly caught your breath, and now here you're talking about it again. And we're going to present it for another 3 days with this amazing cast. You worked with Willy Wonka in 19. Well, of course, there was no play last year because of COVID, but you're back, and you're from Munster.
Yep.
And I just want to make it clear to all of our amazing NPR Lakeshore listeners and underwriters that you are the product of Larry Breckner.
Yes.
Larry Breckner, of course, one of our board directors here and show hosts and producers. And you studied under him when he was teaching at Munster.
Yep.
So you are pursuing this as a career, is that right?
No, I'm actually pursuing public relations with a minor in human development and family studies. So, yeah, I know.
What does that mean?
So basically, I want to help the publics. Mainly, I want to help kids and children. I want to be the voice for them. Okay. So kind of what I'm doing right now with The Little Mermaid. I almost said Wonka. Oh, my God. The Little Mermaid. I want to take the company and the publics and combine them together and find an equilibrium where both of them thrive and are happy. And that's basically what I want to do. So I guess kind of theater in a sense, because I'll be talking
a lot. The theater
of
life.
Yes, exactly. The theater. And then if I can, I want to do some more film and theater stuff in the background. But
so do you plan on, I was going to say, do you plan on staying with like community theater wherever you land?
I lean more towards film, but honestly, anything that I can take in terms of acting, I will do it. Except for singing, I can't sing.
Okay. You direct well, though.
Thank you.
Now, one thing that you are good at is finding singers and dancers and actors. You had a great cast for Wonka.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is a greater cast.
Yeah, this
this
is
cast
strong.
Is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got, you've got a couple of young you know, talents in here. And as I understand it, some of them have never really performed before.
No.
And yet you can't tell the veterans from the first timers. So that's a credit to you as well as to them.
Thanks.
So you have one of those youngins with us. Why don't you introduce her?
Yes. So one of our youngins that hasn't, you haven't done any musical theater, correct, Claire?
Correct.
Yeah. So Claire is playing my flounder. When she came first, like for auditions, we had everything virtual because we were still in the middle of a pandemic at the time. I guess we kind of still are, but it's better. So I just heard this little girl belt out. I forgot what song you were singing, but she was just belting. And then when it came to callbacks, we had her, like, because my vocal director, Courtney, wanted everybody for callbacks to sing, like, the belting parts to see if they can do it. And literally, once when Claire started, we just, we literally put everything down and we just, stared at her with our mouths open. Like, I don't know where she came from, but I'm so glad she's in the cast. So, thank you, Claire, for being an amazing and very cute flounder.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome.
You're a great director.
You do a great job, Claire. And I was sitting in, I mean, I've seen it three nights now, but I was sitting in the audience on the last night, and these older ladies that were sitting next to me, when you went up there and was singing, they were just aghast. They were like, oh, my God, look at the voice coming out of that little girl, you know, blah, 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 blah. What made you want to do flounder? And before we get to that, tell me a little about you. Where are you from, and how did you get into singing and dancing and wanting to be an entertainer?
I'm from Hobart, Indiana.
Oh, my hometown, yeah.
And, well, my first show I was in was Alice in Wonderland, and it was a workshop. And that same year, then, I did with Limelights in Valparaiso. I was in Miss Electricity, and I was Violet, a.k.a. Miss Electricity. And so somebody we know, and she told us that The Little Mermaid was going to be in Highland. So I decided that, well, I have a kiddie voice, so I could be Flounder, so I tried out for Flounder.
Wow. Are you happy with the role?
Yes, it's a very cool role. I like
you have some good parts in there. You're one of the, I guess you'd say the cute characters, the fun characters. There's evil ones and there's very straight-laced ones, and then there's some that are just there. You and Scuttle and Sebastian are probably the cute ones, I would say. The ones that make people laugh and smile and everything else. What I like about you, in addition to your performance and your voice, is your costume. You got little fins under your arms, and you got the little cap on. And where'd your costume come from? Because as Allie has explained on stage, a lot of the costumes are homemade. So did you have a hand in that? Is that family support on that? What is it?
My teacher, actually, I'm homeschooled, but from a school place, then we... My teacher, who was for the older kids, she actually knows how to sew very well.
And clearly.
Even though she's a beginner.
And really?
Yeah.
Like you. You're kind of a beginner, but look at how good you guys are doing.
And so we asked around a couple of people because, well, if I didn't have a costume like that, then I'd probably be in a t-shirt and blue shorts with suspenders.
Okay, what's the suspender connection? Are you a fan of suspenders?
No. I just need something with a stripe.
Oh, okay. So, well, you did a great job. Did you help design it? Did you put your input into the creative side of the costuming?
Well, my mom did.
Okay. So mom gets the credit there.
Yes.
All right. How long did it take you to learn your songs and your lines? Because I've done a little bit of stage work when I was younger, and even as a singer in a band, the hardest part for me was always remembering the lyrics. If I didn't have a cheat sheet in front of me or write it on my palm so I'd remember the start of each verse, I would have a crisis on stage. How do you remember? What do you do? What's your secret for training to do a role?
Well, when I'm learning my lines, then I kind of try to sing it in my mind. Okay. But when I'm learning the songs, then, well, actually, I knew the song because I auditioned for The Little Mermaid at Maryville High School for Flounder. So we had to learn it there, and I heard other people singing it. So that helped me.
Wait a minute. You auditioned for Flounder somewhere else, and they didn't give it to you?
I was 7.
I don't care. You had to be adorable. All right. So you're on stage a lot. In this, what's it like to work with an ensemble cast? You've got all different ages. It's not just a children's play. You've got teenagers. You've got adults. What's it like to be in that broad spectrum of ages and genres and genders? And you got the boys. You got the girls. You got the old folks. You got the young folks. Of course, you're probably one of the youngest.
Yeah.
So what's it like to work in that kind of cast as opposed to being in a school play?
Well, I like variety of ages to talk to because they all are good at talking, and I like talking to a variety of people talking because they talk differently.
Mm-hmm. I got to say, you're an incredibly mature young lady. If you don't mind my asking, I know it's tacky to ask a lady's age, but how old are you?
I am 10 years old.
Wow. You have got you've got some chops, and you're a classy young lady, so... Kudos to your folks and your family. Are you the only one in the arts at this point, or you come from musical stock? Is there DNA that's brought you here?
Well, my sister, she auditioned, but she ended up having to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, my cousins, they are performing. They were actually Flounder in The Little Mermaid in Indianapolis.
So this is a family tradition then?
Yes.
You're a family of Flounders. All right, you have a song that you do called "She's in Love." That's part of the play,
right.
Correct? Is that your main song?
Yes.
Okay. Well, we don't have you singing it, but we do have the original Broadway cast. So we're going to play that now to kind of just remind everybody what Flounder's role is in this. And it's interesting because we're going to talk about some of the songs that we don't hear in the cartoon, and this is one of them.
I'm talking about Ariel. That's who.
What about her?
She sure is acting fishy lately.
I'll say, swimming in circles, chasing her tail.
That girl is up to her gills in something. She's dizzy and she's dreamy.
Her head's up in the foam.
Her eyes have gone all gleamy. It's like there's no one home. She floats away the days, moping on the coastal shelf.
You ask her where she's going, she giggles like a fool.
She barely sticks a tongue down at the tidal pool.
It's more than just a face. Face it, she's just not herself. Is she ill or insane? Is it water on the brain? What has got her bothered so? It's the bang.
It's the flu.
Gosh, I wish we had a clue.
Like she don't see me, she doesn't even speak. She treats me like sashimi left over from last week. You see her late at night, tossing in her ocean bed. She's moody as a snapper, oblivious as rocks. You swim her up and tab her, she lays there like a lox. As sure as dogfish bite, something's made her lose her head.
She has lost her head.
And she sighs and she swells, and she's humming little tunes.
Even has a sort of glow.
What on earth could it be?
Any hammerhead can see that side.
That glow. That swoon.
Oh no,
she's in love.
She's
in love.
She's
in love. See her hips, how they swish.
Well, don't you wonder who the lucky sheepo is?
She's in
love.
She's in
love.
See her blush, say her grin.
Got to be love. She's in
love. You own someone swimming in the sea. K-I-S-S-I-N-G.
She's in love, she being Ariel, who is the Little Mermaid, the star of the show. And you know what? We got the best cast members here. We got the cute ones, we got the evil one, and we got the lady that puts it all together, the director. Ali Schenken is the director and the one that chose Little Mermaid. Now, Ali, why did you choose Little Mermaid? What is it about this play that you felt this was the right time to do it?
Yeah, so when my crew and I back... like almost a year ago, when we were talking about shows to do, we were really thinking about, you know, everyone was in a pandemic, or, you know, we were still in the pandemic. We didn't even know at that time if we would be able to do a musical, but we wanted something that not only the younger crowd liked, but the older crowd and just everybody enjoyed. So, you know, if we did somehow get out of this pandemic, what's something that could just bring the community together? So we had a bunch of different meetings and stuff like that about shows to do. And every single meeting that we had, the Little Mermaid always popped up. And also, you know, considering that I don't know where I'm going to be at next year, whether I'm still here in Northwest Indiana with an adult job, you know, full grown out of college job, or wherever I'm at, I wanted to make my last year count as well. So I'm a big Disney nerd. So I also wanted to do The Little Mermaid. I really, in our meetings, I have to say, I really pushed to do The Little Mermaid.
Mm-hmm.
I also really pushed for Wizard of Oz, but I believe they did that about 10 years ago, and there's like a rule, you have to wait for 10 years for it to pass. So The director next year can do The Wizard of Oz, but, you know, I'm very happy that we chose this show over Wizard of Oz.
Now, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. Let's say, and I'm not wishing you any ill will here, let's say you don't get that adult job and move away.
Yes.
Let's say you're still here in the Munster Highland area. Will you still take part in some of this?
So I'm not going to, I don't want to say anything at all because it still needs to be finalized, but there is going, there should be a director for next year. Like, again, okay. I don't want to say anything.
Right, I understand.
Yeah. But, and I will help out any way that I can, but I just want to get a grown job, you know? Mm-hmm. I want to finally...
At some point, every little girl has to grow up.
Yeah, exactly. Every little girl has to grow up. And while I love doing this, right now, I cannot make, you know... I can't financially survive with,
right.
you know, what I'm making off of it. So, and it's not like where I can... Like, for my mom example, she's a kindergarten teacher. She has her summers off. So she, if she wanted to, she could easily direct something like this. Mm-hmm. But for me, like, I will have a full year job, like kind of like my sister and my father have. So it's just going to be too difficult.
Doesn't the real world suck?
The real world does suck. Honestly, I'm hoping that there's just some, like, talent scout there that's just like, wow, this 20-something year old can direct. You know what? Let's move her out to Chicago or somewhere and let's have her direct something bigger. But I doubt that's going to happen.
One can dream. We watch all these movies on the Life Channel,
yeah,
you know, and these miracles happen.
Yeah.
Speaking of educators, Christina Arroyo is with us. She is Ursula. Now, Christina, you were saying off air when you came in that you are an educator. You're a teacher.
I am, yes.
So you have your summers off. That's why this
is
perfect?
I do. It's been absolutely perfect to be a part of this show. It's been about 7 years since my last show, and this was a great opportunity for me to kind of get back in after having my youngest child. And so, speaking of, she's also in the show. She's one of the youngest members of the show.
Is she one of the crabs?
She is.
I
she's
love
one of those
the crabs.
Mini crabs. Uh-huh.
Those are so cute. They just dance around. They don't say anything. They just dance around and get chased by the chef with the butcher knife.
Yes, that's her favorite character.
I love that. So it's a family thing for you. So you're encouraging that then, the next generation to come up and walk the board, so to speak.
Yes. Well, you know, I started in theater when I was in second grade or about there. I was in the show Annie, and I was in it with my mother. So my mom was one of the hobos living out on the streets of New York. And I was one of the, you know, many orphans that lived in the orphanage. And so when I had an opportunity this summer to do something, I decided to audition with my daughter, and it's been a great, great opportunity to kind of continue that family tradition.
So you said it's been 7 years. Why did you stop?
Well, I had my child, Emily, and so I kind of had to focus on my family at that point, do a little bit more of the mom role of things. I am still an educator. I teach choir down at Clark Middle School in St. John, Indiana. A wonderful community, great family support, and I know there's several families that are planning on coming out to see the show. Just to see me on the evil side of things.
Again, this show, it's the second week of it, running Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 8 p.m. performances. Two acts in this play, The Little Mermaid. And we're doing the Broadway version, correct? Because I came tonight with the soundtrack to the film, and I'm going like, where's all the songs I'm hearing on stage? And you fortunately brought in the Broadway cast recording. Why do you think they cut so many songs? There's 20 in the film, and that's half of them are scores. And you've got 29 on the Broadway.
Do you mean cut them like cut the original soundtrack?
Yeah.
Because the Broadway soundtrack came, or the Broadway version came out after
the film?
The film, yeah. So the film came out, I believe, in 1989, and then the Broadway version came out in 2012? I don't remember.
So they added a lot to flesh it out.
Yeah, so like they gave Scuttle a song, Flounder got a song, Prince Eric has two songs, there's more songs for Ursula as well. I love Daddy's Little Angel. That's a song with Ursula, Flotsam and Jetsam.
Mm-hmm.
Great creepy song. So I mean, they just, and again, like when it comes to musicals, like it's a lot more singing than dialogue. Well, yeah, so, you know, they just had to make sure that they turned it into something like that.
Okay. Ursula is the Sea Witch.
Yes.
She is King Triton's evil sister. Mm-hmm. Every Disney cartoon has an evil queen or an evil something that always gets triumphed in the end. I'm not going to be a spoiler and tell you what happens to Ursula. But anyway, what's it like to play such an evil person, Christina?
Well, this is my first villain role,
okay.
So it's been a joy and a challenge for sure to really kind of embody that evil character. My evil laugh I've really developed over the last couple of months. And
can you give us that? You're an actor.
Well, that was not my evil laugh, but
okay.
It is rather loud. So I'll back away from the mic a little bit, but.
I love that. You are a scary lady on stage. Whoever, do you do your own makeup?
I do my own makeup, yes.
You really, ladies and gentlemen, when I came in here, I gave her the guest seat because I did not realize that was Ursula, who I have been intimidated and afraid of for the last week or so on stage. The fright wig is gone. The dark bluish makeup is gone. The evil voice and laugh was gone. And you're really kind of pleasant.
Well, great.
I mean, I expected when Allie said, yeah, I'm going to bring Ursula, I was like, oh, boy, okay, what's she going to be like? You're a very pleasant lady, and you play evil well. So what is it about this role that made you want to tackle it?
I honestly really just wanted to be in the show in some way, shape, or form with my daughter. So to me, it really didn't matter what role. I just wanted to do something, get back on stage, perform again, and have her by my side and enjoy that experience together. And then I got called back for Ursula. I sang a villain song as part of my audition.
Mm-hmm.
Again, just to be different, to be fun. And it ended up turning out that I got the part of Ursula. So it was a great opportunity, great experience for me to get cast in this role, and I thank Allie for that opportunity.
No, thank you for coming out and auditioning.
So what was it that made you cast her as Ursula? Again, that's a major role in this.
Yeah, so when we were watching those auditions online, so we actually extended the audition links because we had so many people just audition. And then Christina's name appeared and I was watching it because with the adults, it's either, you know, like with anybody, it's like a hit or a miss.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of went into it kind of going, oh, no, like, I hope she's good. And she's another one that can just belt.
Yeah.
Did you do Mother Knows Best?
I did.
Yes, yes. And she was just acting the part and she was belting. And I literally closed my eyes and I saw Mother Gothel, like, because that's what she was auditioning with the song from Tangled.
Mm-hmm.
And then... she came back late from callbacks because you had something for choir with your choir or something like that. And she was just, because we had them read dialogue and everything. And I just, like, you just watched her change from Christina to Ursula in a split second. And I was like, wow, that is a professional. And it's just, like, how she was just acting as Ursula. And, like, I didn't think she could improve from callbacks to now.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, my goodness. Like, whenever, like, she comes on stage. Like, I don't cry often when it comes to, like, you know, watching the stuff that I, like, direct and stuff like that. Because I just, you know, get nervous. But that ending when she's laughing on top of the platform in the fog. I'm literally sobbing because it's just she does it so perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Christina.
Well, thank you so much.
Of course.
Like I said, she's very scary. I've been intimidated by her for a week, and now she's just a sweetheart lady in here.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to give you a little taste of some of the evilness that's in Little Mermaid by giving you a Ursula song, Poor Unfortunate Souls. And this is not our guest tonight. This is off the Broadway cast, but you're going to get an idea of what she's like.
My dear sweet child, it's what I live for, to help unfortunate merfolk like yourself. Poor souls with no one else to turn to. I admit that in the past I've been a nasty. They weren't kidding when they called me, well, a witch. But you'll find that nowadays I've mended all my ways, repented, seen the light, and made a switch. True, yes. And I fortunately know a little magic. It's a talent that I always have possessed. And here lately, please don't laugh, I use it on behalf of the miserable, lonely, and depressed. Pathetic, poor, unfortunate souls, in pain, in need. This one longing to be thinner, that one wants to get the girl, and do I help them? Yes, indeed. Those poor, unfortunate souls, so sad, so true. They come flocking to my cauldron, crying, spells, Ursula, please, and I help them. Yes, I do. Now it's happened once or twice. Someone couldn't pay the price, and I'm afraid I had to rake them across the balls. Yes, I've had the odd complaint, but on the whole, I've been a saint to those poor, unfortunate souls. Here's my best offer, babykins. I knew a spell that will turn you into a human for 3 days. Now it's got a procedural clause, sort of a squid pro quo. Before the sun sets on the third day, you've got to get dear old Princey to kiss you. If you do, you'll stay human forever.
And if I don't?
Nothing drastic, darling, I'm sure. Oh, look, small print. Your soul is mine forever, and you're doomed to spend eternity in my watery, hell-soaked lair. Lawyers, don't you just love 'em? Of course, there is one more thing. My fee.
But I don't have anything.
I'm not asking for much. Only your voice.
My voice? If I give away my voice, how can I ever?
You'll have your looks, your pretty face. And don't underestimate the power of body. Gossips is a bore. Yes, on land it's much preferred for ladies not to say a word. And after all, dear, what is idle prattle for? Come on, they're not all that impressed with conversation. True gentlemen avoid it when they can. But they dote and swoon and fawn on a lady who's withdrawn. It's she who holds her tongue who gets her man. Come on, you poor unfortunate soul. Go ahead, make your choice. I'm a very busy woman and I haven't got all day. It won't cost much, just your voice. You poor unfortunate soul, it's sad but true. If you wanna cross a bridge, my sweet, you gotta pay the toll. Take a gulp and take a breath, go ahead and sign the scroll. Flotsam jetsam, now I got a voice. The boss is on a roll. You poor come winds of the Caspian Sea. Larynx says glossitis at maxillaryngitis, la voce to me. Now sing your voice over to me.
And the evilness descends. Christina Arroyo plays Ursula. That is the Ursula song, one of the main songs in the Broadway production. The other one, Daddy's Little Angel, is not on this Broadway? Why do you think they left that off? That's one of the best songs of your version.
Yeah, honestly, that's probably one of my favorite songs too, but I didn't really notice it until like my mom started coming, helping with like, what's it called? Rehearsals and stuff. But she pointed out, she goes, you know, this song is about Ursula killing like all of her siblings, right? And I was just like, huh? And then I listened to it again and I was like, oh my goodness, yes. But honestly, this song's amazing. So,
except for King Triton, didn't kill him.
No.
Obviously. Good versus evil. This is an interesting musical. I didn't realize it was quite as dark as it was, because you always hear the happy songs. Mm-hmm. One of the things about Disney, it's kind of like a James Brown record. James Brown made the same song over and over and over and just put different words in it. Disney makes the same, you know, musical over and over and over. Sleeping Beauty, Cinderella. They're all about a love story, a prince, a girl that falls in love, and some evil characters. And then in the end, it always triumphs. Why is this so successful? Why is this formula just keep working over and over again? It did for James. It certainly is for Disney.
Honestly, I don't know. They know how to work towards their audience, and they just really sell it. And I think it's because a lot of the people just like having those magical moments, mm-hmm. and they like feeling, I don't want to like, you know, speak for everybody, or they, you know, but they just like feeling young, and they just like that happiness, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I know a lot of people like watching more of like the dramas and stuff like that, but you know, sometimes when you're in a funk, just turn it on like a Disney classic, like that you can just belt to, like Mulan or Pocahontas, you know, that just makes people feel happy.
Interchangeable characters, yeah. Same basic storyline. It's the feel good mojo that keeps us all going, I guess. Well, we had Claire Taylor as Flounder. We talked to her a little while ago. We just talked to the evil one, Christina Arroyo, who really isn't so evil, but don't tell anybody. And now we come to Samantha Corey, who plays probably one of my two or three favorite characters in here, and that is Scuttle. You have an incredible costume. You molt all over the stage. There are feathers everywhere, in the dressing room, downstairs, in the washrooms, on the stage. You said you're finding them all over the house.
Oh, yeah. They're everywhere.
Who did your costume? A beautiful costume.
Thank you so much.
Did you, like, hot glue feathers on yourself? How did you do that?
Yeah, I was like, I could sew my costume together, but that's a lot of time. And, oh, my goodness, I knew I needed a lot of feathers.
Mm-hmm.
I bought a lot of feathers. My room is absolutely coated in them. I would vacuum my room like every day and still find them places I didn't like vacuum, apparently.
Wow.
They're everywhere.
So Scuttle is it's kind of a bird brain character, which lives up to it, because you get all the words wrong. You tell Ariel, the Little Mermaid, to comb her hair with a fork. You're an expert in everything and yet nothing at the same time.
Very confident in his stupidity is what I like to
say.
I
do like that. Is this the role you wanted?
Absolutely not. No. I wouldn't say that. I absolutely love Scuttle. Uh-huh. Don't get me wrong. As I started playing him, I fell in love with him. But the character I auditioned for was Ursula. I was like dead set, like, oh, I want to be Ursula. And then I submitted my audition, and I guess I did not look as threatening as I thought I did.
No,
I'm wearing bright colors, don't you think?
Yes,
I'm a little scared.
Your little lemon tree there.
My little lemon outfit. I call it my lucky lemon fit.
Okay.
Yeah, but I got a callback for Ariel and Scuttle. It wasn't until I submitted my audition did I put down Scuttle, because I saw they needed tap dancers. And I took a tap dancing class when I was 7, so I'm like, I'm pretty good at that. And I got Scuttle. I really like him a lot. I feel
You embody that character. And just meeting you now, I mean, you're very bubbly, you're very smiley. I mentioned that to Allie after the show. I said, is she always like that? Because on stage, that's your character. Off stage, your smile is there when you're talking, taking pictures. You are the most, you know, bubbly person I've met. You're effervescent in your personality. And here, obviously, you're the same. So it seems to be the role you were destined to play.
I didn't realize that until I started reading for him. I'm like, wow, this is me as a bird.
How long have you been in theater and why?
I started in 2018, my freshman year of high school. But, like, I've always been really into the arts. I've always been like, Mom, there's, like, a casting call online. It seems really sketchy, but can I go to it? Of course not.
Right.
It's sketchy. But it's just always been there. I've just always had love to make people smile and laugh. And just being on stage and being able to do that just makes me so happy.
What school did you go to?
I go to Hanover Central.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm going into my senior year.
All right.
Woohoo.
So, I take it you're in theater?
Oh, yeah.
And choir and all that stuff?
I'm not starting my choir till this year. I decided to finally audition because I've always wanted to be in choir, mm-hmm. but I went to the band route. I play French horn and trumpet.
Okay.
And then I'm like, you know what? I have room in my senior year schedule. I'm going to try out for choir. And I tried out, and I got into, like, the most advanced class, and I'm like, wow, this is meant for me. I love the arts.
All right. I'm going to ask you to do something. I made Ursula do the evil laugh. And one of the trademarks, one of the things that makes Scuttle such a character is the squawking. Can you picture this, folks? Here's this beautiful young lady covered in feathers with tons of bird makeup on. And she comes running across the stage, flapping her arms, and jumps onto a giant rock. Which, one of these days, that rock is going to slide right off the stage. Because it's right on the edge. And I keep, like, holding my breath when you do that. And when you do that, you let out the most amazing squawking noise. It feels like we are in a flock of birds. So give the audience one of your squawks.
Okay, let's see. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Wow. Fun stuff. We're going to play one of your songs. Tell me about this song. Again, how did you put it? He's confident in his stupidity?
Yes, very confident.
And this song is kind of an example of that. Tell me a little about the song and then we'll play it.
The song is called Positivity. It's supposed to be like positivity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the word. I can't say positivity anymore. It doesn't sound normal. It's positivity. And it's about Scuttle teaching Ariel how to walk after she just got her legs and she loses hope. So Scuttle's like, you just got to have some confidence. Be happy and good things will come.
All right. Lesson in life. Let's play it.
What's this? You giving up so soon? You gotta have a little gumption. Yeah, a can-do kind of attitude. Take it from a gull who knows. Now look at me, you see this face. In terms of beauty, I'm a basket case. And as for style and savoir-faire, well, I guess there ain't a whole lot there yet. Although perhaps it makes no sense. I strut my stuff with lots of confidence. Cause though I lack an awful lot, there is one thing I got. I got positivity. I got positivity. It gives me the zam and the zow and the yaddle-addle-addle. That's why I walk with a wiggle in my waddle. Cause once you've heard that word, there ain't nothing you can't do. So let that positivity work for you.
Positivity? Why, there's no such word.
Of course there is. In the dictionary, right between popsicle and pre-hysterical. Believe you me, I've seen it work miracles. Now he's a schmo,
yo,
and he's a schlep,
yeah.
And this one doesn't got the sharpest rep. In fact, all three without a doubt missed the day that brains were handed out.
But if he's no sage
and he's no whiz,
the whole world thinks that we are geniuses. Cause all our screws may be unscrewed, but dig our attitude. We got positricity.
How about you, huh?
We got positivity.
Just try it out, come on.
It gives us the bing
and a bang.
Aim a yippy dip doodle.
That's why we sound like there's knowledge in a noodle. And once you learn that word, there ain't nothing you can do. So let that positricity.
Didn't know positricity.
Positricity work for you.
Ariel, don't take advice from bird brains.
Bird brains? Who are you calling bird brains? We got natural talent. What I like to call gullibility.
See, Mr. Bip and the Bap and the Bop Bop Boo. You can flip any flap till your wish comes true. The tip is to tap into something that you believe.
Cause with the zig and the zug and the zizz and the zee, there ain't nothing you can be. You see, it's really your prerogative.
You simply can't.
Then there's you just sitting there, smack down flat upon your derriere. Hey, that's the way you wanna be. Well, you might as well be shrubbery. So stand right up and dust your seat and walk real tall upon your own two feet. And sure, you'll trip and make mistakes, but you've got what it takes. You go, go!
Positivity, you gotta have it. And Scuttle's got loads of it, boatloads, birdloads. Samantha Corey plays Scuttle in the Highland production, and you were playing him here. You were flapping and singing, and
it's so catchy.
No feathers went to waste here, though. So you have fallen in love with that role.
Absolutely.
It's a fun role, isn't it?
Oh, it's probably one of the most fun I've had. Probably one of my favorites.
Okay. I got to ask all of you. This is an open question to anybody. Allie made the remark about how musicals make people feel good. My daughter got me into musicals to a point, but up until then, I was a drama guy. I wanted to be James Dean and Marlon Brando when I was in theater. And I guess I'm kind of coming around to the musicals, but why musicals for you? Do you want to do drama too, is this your forte?
Personally, I love singing. It just makes me so happy. And also, it's a lot easier to learn lines if half of your lines are songs.
Okay. All right. What about you, Claire?
I think I'm a musical person more than a drama because I like singing and it's fun. And like Samantha said, it's easier to learn your lines when half of them are music.
Right. You have a very big voice for a very little girl. Where did that voice come from? How did you learn to sing and project? I mean, you project really well when you're on stage.
Well, last year, earlier in the year, early summer, then I was in a Disney singing thing in Hobart near our house with M.M. Ross from Maryville High School.
Yep.
And I sang Show Yourself, and Jacob there, he was kind of a music teacher to me. And he taught me how to project my voice more and belt out my singing more and also use my head voice and my chest voice.
Okay, so you learned to sing with a diaphragm kind of thing so you don't strain your voice.
Right.
Okay. Christina, you are a music teacher.
Yes.
So what do you teach your students as far as how to protect their voice and how to sing boldly like Claire does?
That's a great question. I teach beginning choir, so I think it's most important at that age to really cover that and teach that. You know, we talk about vocal health and making sure they're hydrating regularly, not screaming at their sporting events, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, teaching them about their head voice, their chest voice, how to use each one appropriately, how to listen and blend with each other within the choir. So, I mean, you know, musicals for me, music is my life. It has always been since I was very little, and so musicals have always been an important aspect of growing up and developing into what I wanted to become.
Okay.
And even with my youngest daughter, she, Emily, will create her own little musicals throughout the house, singing, you know, whatever comes to mind. So,
do you put your teacher's hat on once in a while when you're at the production? And say, you know, you could sing this better if, or do they come to you and say, hey, you're a teacher, can you tell me how to make this sound better?
Absolutely. And okay. I don't want to overstep my bounds in certain terms. You know, we obviously have a wonderful choral director already in Courtney Palace, but there have been a couple of kids that have asked me about things, and I see my role as more of an encouraging one in the cast, you know, being one of the oldest members of the cast, mm-hmm. being able to encourage those younger singers and telling them, wow, you're doing an awesome job. I love, you know, how you're portraying this character in this specific way. So that's kind of what I see my role as a veteran.
Okay. Let's briefly run through and give a shout out to some of the main characters that are not with us. Tell me a little bit, Allie, about Ariel and Prince Eric, who they are and how you got them.
Yes. So our Ariel's Tenley Edvardsen, and then our Prince Eric is Thomas. Oh, God. If he's listening, Thomas, I'm so sorry. I'm going to fumble on your last name. Earhart? Yeah.
Looks like Earhart.
Thomas, I'm so sorry.
All right.
So Tenley Edvardsen just graduated from LC. So when we... she knows Courtney Palace. My mom actually works with her mom over at Eads Elementary School in Munster.
Okay.
So it's just, you know, I've known Tenley since she's been a young child. But we haven't spoken much. However, she was the very first person to submit her audition. Like, I literally opened up the audition forms, and then she just sent me, she goes, it's not a Disney song, but can I submit Anastasia to you? I'm like, yes, that's totally fine. And literally that same night, she submitted her audition form, which was back in like March or something, and I was just blown away. She's going to go to Milliken for musical theater, and honestly, I think that is the best route for her to go, because honestly, just come see Ariel. You'll understand. Or the Little Mermaid.
Yeah, she's very, very good.
Yes, her voice is gorgeous. And then for Thomas, actually both our Prince Eric and our Prince Eric understudy at the time both dropped due to personal reasons. So I just sent out a very scared message basically saying, hey, hi, please help. We need a Prince Eric. And the whole cast was great. They sent it out. We got a few auditions. Thomas, again, was the first person out of that group to send in his audition. And he nailed it. He worked for a character company, and he's using their costumes, and he literally looks like Prince Eric.
He is a handsome-looking kid.
Honestly, Thomas is so great.
There was a lot of comments out there, too. They were talking about Claire and her big voice, and then those ladies next to me goes, he is a good-looking boy.
I love Thomas. He's so sweet.
So he plays a good prince.
Mm-hmm.
We have a great cast, again, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Main Square Park. It is free to attend. There is some VIP seating in which if you throw a few dollars, you can help support the theater and next year's production. You can buy one of these amazing programs, and that also helps pay for the rights and things like that. In closing, real quick, as we start this song, anyone got a shout out to anybody? You want to yell out to somebody special?
Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Love you. I just wanted to say thank you to my whole cast and crew. So, like, my assistant director especially, like, Alex Traina, has been a huge help. I love him so much. But, yeah, that's the big shout-out. And especially the parents. Parents, if you're listening, I love you guys and your support. Thank you.
Go ahead.
If you're listening, my siblings, Clark, Claire, Georgia, and Journey.
I like that, Journey. What a good name.
And I want to thank my family, my husband, David Arroyo. He's been very supportive through all this. My three girls, Teresa, Gabby, and Emily. And especially my parents, my mom, Kathy, and my father, Jim, who really encouraged me to get involved in music and to pursue my passions.
All right. Again, Little Mermaid, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at Main Square Park, downtown Highland. Stop out. Catch these amazing young people. And we're going to dedicate this last song to the entire cast because most of them sing on it on stage. Let's take a little trip under the sea and kiss that girl, Prince. Come on.
Sha la 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 la, in that song, in the shame, too bad, he gonna miss the girl.
You know, I really ought to know your name. Maybe I could guess. Alexandra. Annabelle. Beatrice?
Ariel. Her name is Ariel.
Ariel? Ariel? Hey, that's kind of pretty. Okay. Ariel.
Now's your moment. Floating in the lagoon.